All right. So welcome to the Tombstone Podcast. My name is Devin.
Kevin.
Anyone else?
Whoever else wants to go.
Is it just y'all two? Yeah, I'm Dominic. Yeah, hello.
And I'm Zach.
Hell yeah.
And we're just four good old friends that just decided to make a podcast and talk about video games. If you're wondering where the name Tombstone comes from, it comes from one of our Dominic's brother. We're always having to wait for him, so we always said that he'd have to pop out and go pop a tombstone in the oven. So we're just waiting for that before he gets here and plays with us.
And then he's got to eat it, so it takes another hour.
Yeah. So any time we would want to get together and play games, it's like, okay, yeah, let me be back in 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes usually turns into 2 hours if he does come back. So that's where our name comes from, if you're wondering.
If he does come back.
If he does, you know, sometimes he doesn't. Like, sometimes he'll just like, hey guys, I'll be right back, and then it's like 4 hours later, he's like, oh yeah, I had to go do this, yeah. So good night. Like, all right, cool. It's not like we were waiting for you or anything.
Right.
So yeah, this podcast, we're just gonna kind of get together and talk about what games we like and why we like them. We'll be talking about some of the some gaming industry quirks. I know that we have like a loot box episode down the road. We'll be talking about a lot of different series that we've enjoyed playing, what we like about them, what we don't like about them, what we would like to see from those games in other games. Yeah, just like the ins and outs of why we like these games, and that's pretty much it. This is our episode zero, where we'll just kind of go through and we'll just talk about our history with different games growing up, things that stick out to us. If you want to go ahead and start us off, Dominic.
Yeah, cool. Which, it's actually funny, my earliest memory, I can't remember how old I was, I must have been like a toddler. It was the first Legend of Zelda for the NES was something that like vividly remember playing as a, like, way early in my childhood. Something else with that was, I don't know where it was in my early childhood, but I also remember for the NES, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Which one? Oh, is that the God. Turtles in Time?
Yeah,
is
yes.
that the one with that hard ass, that one hard jump that no one could ever get?
That was, and I vividly
oh, that's
remember
the NES one.
I
remember playing that one. I think we had that one.
Yeah, I vividly remember never being able to make that jump, and then I was like, I guess I have to like, I guess I'm just not old enough. Like, I guess I don't, I don't meet the lifetime.
Only adults can get this.
Yeah, yeah,
you have to be this tall to ride
jump.
This ride.
Yeah, yeah, Probably my most memorable memories, or my most like sort of key memories as a kid was just all the AAA titles. Mainly, it started with Ocarina of Time. Like, I remember Christmas morning of like 98 or whatever, right? Like, opening up a present and it's like a Nintendo 64, and I'm like, fuck it, like, what? But with that, we got our first Ocarina of Time cartridge from my cousins, which they had already beaten it. So they were like, yeah, yeah, they could borrow it. But my brother and I had this really, really sad phase in our gaming life where when we would get mad at each other, we would delete our save files.
Holy shit.
So it took a long time to beat Ocarina of Time. Longer than usual.
Mainly because of sabotage.
Mainly due to sabotage. And I don't know. Since then, I mean, probably the Zelda series has been like my truest to my sort of timeline. The Pokemon series as well. Halo whenever we were old enough, right? Like, we did
quote old enough.
Quote old yeah. enough, yeah. Definitely not old enough, but we won't tell the ESRB.
So yeah. I guess to our like any listeners that we have, background information is that Dominic and I are cousins, and so we grew up around the street, you know, around the corner from each other, playing games together. So there will be a lot of overlap moving forward between what he talks about and what I talk
for
about.
For sure. That and even, like, similar, like, gaming interests, too. Like, we ended up finding a lot of similar interests on top of having sort of our own adventures with video games. But But more so, like, I remember, probably, like, my favorite, like, Pokemon game that I played as a kid was Emerald. Because I loved the third gen, weirdly, more than, like, the second and first. But man, what were some of those big milestones? I want to say, it's these games that have been around, like, in the past 10 years or so. Like, around 2009 was a huge leap for gaming, in my opinion, just in terms of, like, my experience with it. I remember, like, Borderlands 1 came out in 2009, which is crazy to think. But also, what was it? It was Lord of the Rings Conquest was one of my favorite games to play.
Which one was Conquest?
Was that the RTS?
No, Battle for Middle-earth.
Yeah.
That's okay. So was Conquest the one that was like the class-based one where you could play as the heroes and
yeah,
it was almost like Battlefront, like, but it was exactly, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it was exactly like Battlefront. It was Battlefront 2 and Lord of the Rings Conquest were my like three favorite, because they introduced like the objective game, right? Like capture the command post, play as your favorite heroes, and those were like probably my favorites. I mean, bro, like Guitar Hero as well. Guitar Hero, dude. Staying up like for a couple summers trying to like
I have some stuff that we can talk about Guitar Hero.
yeah. But I want to say like some of the stuff in the past 10 years. I mean, World of Warcraft was big for me when I was in like middle school, and then it became big again like maybe like a couple months ago for me. Just like jumping back in and figuring all that stuff out, because Classic is coming back. And everyone's really excited about that. But also,
yeah, that's what I'm waiting for is because I tried to play the most recent expansion. Was it a Battle for
Azeroth?
Battle for Azeroth, yeah. And it was good. I felt like I ran out of stuff to do pretty quickly, so I got really bored of it. I'm not one to do just log in daily and do that stuff. But Classic will definitely be something I'm going to be going to,
because not only is it still there, like if you start from the beginning there's a lot to do, but there's a lot to remember too, right? Like because we started playing at Classic or like right as Burning Crusade came out or something like that.
Yeah, like I remember being in that tiny little computer room that we had one of the houses that we lived at, and just being crammed in there with my brother and just sitting around and playing our like elf hunter and orc warlock and stuff like that, and just and loving it.
And then the phone would ring, and then you'd have to you'd get disconnected.
Yeah, the phone would ring, and then you'd lose connection, and it's like, come on, who's really trying to call right now?
For those of you Gen Zs out there, right? Like, we had...
We're not that old, no, but we have a very wide knowledge of technology and having to deal with some bullshit.
Yeah, I think actually, like, I think I'm considered a Gen Z as well, like 97 or something like that. But
I think that's right at the cutoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lines are very arbitrary.
They're very arbitrary.
Because people, but also like some of those bigger games that like really swept the world, right? Like Minecraft is popular everywhere worldwide.
Minecraft. When was Minecraft released?
Minecraft was 2011.
Was that the alpha?
That was beta.
The playable alpha? Because I remember the playable alpha watching Paperbat VG play that game.
Oh my god.
He was my, I don't remember how I found him or how I found Minecraft, but that was my introduction, was watching Paperbat VG, and I watched him for years playing Minecraft.
Yeah, man.
It was him, there was someone he always played with. It was some like Spanish YouTuber.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name either. Yeah,
not Gassy Mexican, because Gassy Mexican played with C Nanners and Hutch.
Oh my
god! They played like fucking some deep cuts here. anyways, move on.
Yeah, man, and that and like Terraria as well was a cool one to play, because that was like one of the first ones that we did as a group that was like like online, right? Like
that, because Minecraft required the weird server, like you'd have Hamachi, to do port forwarding and all of that, and we'd have to use Hamachi, whereas Terraria just used went through Steam, so it was much easier to...
Not originally. Terraria had to be set up the same way Minecraft did. It wasn't until one of the more recent updates that they went through Steam.
Oh. Was it?
Yep.
Yeah, that's so, right. I remember using Hamachi for Terraria as well.
Yeah, because you'd have to, you'd have
I didn't
to run
even play
the,
and I remember that.
You'd have to run the... They had a server file. Mm-hmm. And I remember that now. They had a server file that you had to run and... Yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah. I lied.
Also, I mean, what's been kind of growing over the years, I can't remember, I want to say it's something like 2009, 2010 or something like that, but League of Legends, that has always been a love and hate relationship since we started playing it.
deep of both emotions.
A very strong...
Very high highs, very low lows.
Yeah, a very strong love and a very seething hatred for that game. But I think in the roller coaster of emotions, I think I'm just indifferent now for it. But that has always been a super memorable game, because when we all like broke for college, that was when it got big. But like for us, I think I played it.
Well, that was whenever I first played. It was freshman year of college.
Yeah,
that was the first time I played.
Yeah, I was introduced to it freshman year of high school. And I was like, what is going on here? And so. Then probably at around like sophomore, junior year or something like that, we all started playing together. And since then, it's been like, that's been one of the games that everybody, just about everybody on the server at one point has been like, yeah, we're not doing anything today. Let's play League of Legends, right? Like, or even for like for Terraria and Borderlands in another case, like, hey, let's all go play this game. Let's all go play that game. Those have been like the most memorable for me. But I think, like, single-player-wise, I want to say it's probably, obviously, like I was saying earlier, the Zelda series has always been close to me growing up, and that's probably been, like, the biggest AAA of my franchise, of my growing ups. But that, I mean, scratches the surface, right? Because we play, like, indie games and different, like, multiplayer games all the time, and they come and they go, but those are probably, like, the biggest... For me, I'd say.
Yeah, that's a solid list.
Yeah. Kevin, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. Mine's going to be a bit different. I think mine's going to be the most different out of all of us just because of how solitary I was throughout most of it.
Mm.
First off, it actually didn't start off solitary. I kind of grew up in a gaming household. I have two older brothers, and as soon as I was born, there were already video games in the house. And so I don't remember a time where I was not playing a video game. So I don't even know what the first game I played was. Mm. And, you know, looking back, I remember starting with the SNES titles, mainly Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time. Not the same one that y'all were talking about. This one does not have an impossible
jump. That was like the Street Fighter beat 'em up.
It was like a side scrolly beat 'em up, like Double Dragon, yeah. If you know that one.
Not Street Fighter, yeah, I meant Double Dragon or Streets of Rage or something like that.
Oh yeah, Streets of Rage like that too, yeah. So that was a big one. I was really good at that was the first game I got really good at. I could beat it on hard and no one else could. Super Mario World, Pokemon of course. I'm what you'd consider probably a hardcore Gen 1-er, maybe a hardcore Gen 2-er, because I really like that far back. I really fell off the series ever since then, but I am pretty excited about the new one coming out just because I want to get back into it and I want to like it and it's pretty and it's HD. Yeah. So, you know, I want to give that one a go. But something important to note is back in my day, I guess, I don't know how common it was for other people, but me and my brothers used the hell out of like Game Shark and Action Replay and all the cheat codes and stuff. We used the hell out of that, and it was so fun.
Cheaters.
Oh, I didn't know any better. Like, my brothers were just like, yeah, this is what you do.
Yeah, man, you keep dying there. Just
rare
candy.
Just give yourself infinite life.
Yeah, just give yourself infinite life. You can't lose to it. Look, you know what? I will say this. It allows a lot of people to see full games.
Yeah, that's how I beat Super Mario World for the first time. I did eventually go back and actually beat it, but that was how I beat it the first time.
That's true, because I know just thinking about that, like Action Replay and stuff like that, I never did fully beat Metroid Fusion until I used the Game Shark. So like
that's how it goes.
Yeah,
really. I remember. I remember beating Metroid Fusion taking probably years to beat it. But that's a big one that I was gonna bring up.
Mm. Yeah, but yeah, totally. Like with the cheat codes, we use them a bunch. I do remember one in particular for Wind Waker. I'll get to Wind Waker in a bit, but I remember a cheat code for that where it was R to jump. And, you know, in Zelda, you can't really jump. There's no jump button. You run off a ledge and he jumps for you. I really wanted to have control over jump. I remember it was press R to jump. And it was this really hacky thing where if you just pressed R, it would just set your altitude higher. So you would just start floating up into the sky.
Yeah.
And it just kind of never stopped. So you could just fly.
Yeah, because there's no, like, jump mechanic, unless if you're, right, like you were saying, unless if you're, like, clipping off an edge or something like that. So it just, like, it just floats you up Mega Man style.
Yeah, you just float up gently into the sky, and I remember once, like, at a later point in the game. I remember there was, like, a castle, and I was like, I want to get to the top of this castle, and I flew up there, and I glitched through the top, because you're not supposed to get up there, and fell through the ground. And that's when I found out how hitboxes really work.
Yes. Like I think Oblivion was the first game where I realized that hitboxes weren't, like, didn't have to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I did the glitch with the where you do the floating paintbrushes and you can get somewhere.
Yes.
And I like climbed to the top of something and fell through and I'm like, all right, where the fuck am I?
All right, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right, but it's important to note for later that I was not playing Zelda at all for the first several years of my life. Mm. This is going to be a recurring theme, is just I always have a game series. Like, now, a lot of my favorite game series are things that I had to go back and play because I didn't play them as a kid. Mm. So I didn't play Zelda at all when I was younger. I didn't play it until Wind Waker came out. And the funny thing is, kind of the reason that happened was because I went over to a friend's house, like three houses down the street, and he had Ocarina of Time, and he was like later in the game. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll let you play. And it was the part where you're an adult and you're trying to go back to the forest. And I remember he got me, like, he had the warp song to get to the forest temple, and you have to walk backwards through the maze, and there are a bunch of Moblins. I thought the Moblins were literally impassable. So I was just like, oh, this game scares me. I don't like it. Moblins, Rededs, all that shit really scared me. Mm. So I was just like, no, this isn't for me. I'm never playing this game. And so I didn't play it until Wind Waker was super cute and adorable, and I played that instead. But eventually I did borrow my friend's, a different friend's copy of Ocarina of Time, and the funny story with that one is I borrowed it right before Hurricane Katrina. Mm. So Hurricane Katrina happens. I still have his copy. I never see him again. I've still never seen this guy. Corey, if you're out there, I still have your Ocarina of Time. It's got stickers on it and everything.
And does it have his name on it?
No, but it does have, like a race car sticker on it and some other stuff on it. And it's the only cartridge I have that is, I guess, modified in any way. So it's very clearly not mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was me. That was all I had during, Hurricane Katrina. It was just, I played Ocarina of Time probably like three times in a row because I had no other system with me. Mm. And then, you know, and then I got back and then we saved most of my stuff and then I started playing all my other stuff again. I do remember after that moving on to Sonic. I really, really liked the 3D Sonic games specifically. The ones that are really terrible.
The ones that people don't like a lot.
Yeah, like Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh my god. Oh,
those are like my favorite when I was a kid and they are
what
garbage. Yeah.
I will say,
absolute
yeah,
garbage.
Sonic is a fickle friend, but I did love the adventure games, like above all the
when
others.
I was young, I unironically loved them. They were so good. But I think that kind of marks the end of my like kind of adolescence. I started getting into my teenage years, and I got really into shooters like pretty much everybody that age. Halo is really the big one. At this point, it's probably important to mention, I never really did competitive, and I still really don't. And I thought about it, and the reason is, or at least I think the reason is, when me and my brothers would play, we would get mad at each other, like really, really mad if someone beat the other person. So we just always kind of agreed to only play cooperative games. So I just never got into competitive because there's something in my brain's like, oh, I don't want to piss anybody off.
So
or if
you
I lose,
and
I don't want to get pissed
smart.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and your brothers were smarter than me and my brother. We were just like, no,
you
just
we're
keep just
going to
get mad at each other and just fight over fucking video games for no reason. Yeah. And like, oh, man.
Yeah, I think it was mostly my decision. I just didn't. I'm the least confrontational of my brothers, so they would get mad, and I'd be like, okay, well, let's not play this anymore.
Very mediating.
I'm
yeah.
sorry. And the thing was, is I think around this time was when I started getting better than my brothers, just generally speaking, because I'm the youngest. So it's kind of weird that I became better, but it's because it's all I fucking do, really. But with all these competitive games, I would just start, generally for most of them, I would beat them and they would get mad. So I just wouldn't play with them anymore. We started developing this habit of having multiple consoles and just playing different games, but in the same room. And that's kind of been like the go-to thing from then on.
Hmm.
This is when I got into probably what I would describe as secondary mainstream stuff. Basically, things like that are still very popular, like Elder Scrolls and Fallout, but aren't, you know, Fortnite, you know? So yeah, it's like secondary mainstream. So things like Mass Effect and Fallout and Elder Scrolls, that's when I got really into those. Still kind of normal, but really getting into like a solo experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I think I was 19 when I played this game, and it was probably the single biggest turning point in my gaming habits and views and everything. And it was the first time I played Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, man.
It was... Oh, it did things, man. It did things to
did
me.
Things.
Yeah, I remember watching a Let's Play of it, and I got to, like, I don't know, like the third or fourth episode or something, and with... I was like, no, man, I cannot spoil this for myself. This game looks awesome. I immediately stopped watching that series. I ordered it and waited. So at 19, which I'm like, that's 2012 or 13 or something like that. I'm going back and playing a PS2 game, Shadow of the Colossus, and it is still to this day my favorite game. It is amazing and beautiful.
Yeah.
And it taught me a lot about kind of interactive storytelling and setting the mood.
Mm. I can't believe that we didn't actually write that one down as an episode idea. We'll do that. We'll do that after this episode. But yeah, because I remember I never played it until you let me play it on. It's on the PlayStation 2, right?
Yeah, PlayStation 2. Yeah. I forced you to play it. I was like, you have to play this.
You kind of sat me down. You're like, all right, man, you haven't played this game. You're gonna play it. And it took me, it's not a very long game.
No, it's not.
Even if you have no idea what you're doing and you're just getting into it, it took about 12 hours, I want to say? 10, 12
hours?
Yeah,
probably so. That's not too far off from my first.
Yes, really, really profound game. Mm. Just solid mechanics. Really well thought out. Not too much. Like, it's weird because, like, there's not too much going on in it, but
that's kind of the point, almost.
Yeah, that's almost the point. Is like, you are in this single soul mission, and that's all you're doing. I've never played a more singular game than Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that nothing since has really tried to imitate it. you know, like nothing has been, oh, big baddie monster thing, let's climb on it, and like that's it. It's like fighting and it's a puzzle, and it has this like mood about it where you know you have to beat the Colossus, but you kind of feel bad, and there's this whole thing, and I mean we can talk about it on another episode, but this
there's so many themes involved with that, we can do a full episode on,
absolutely.
We'll write that one down.
But that's when I started thinking about things like game design, and I started reading and watching videos and all this stuff on game design, game development, learning about how they work, how they tick, what goes into it, making the music, making the art, making the animation, all that stuff. And I just started really absorbing all of that information. And this was very early in college when I started doing this. And after my first year of college, my whole first year of college, I was in biomedical engineering. I actually changed to cyber engineering specifically because I was like, well, I've already done a lot of the engineering stuff. Let's move to computers because I really like games. And at the very least, while I'm still indecisive about what I want to do with my life, I can always fall back on game development. And like, I've since decided, no, I don't want to do that. At least not AAA. because it's just not a good working environment, but
it's become the movie industry.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's basically kind of how I feel about it. Where creative ideas are only sought after if they can make money. Like if you have a really good creative idea, but it's only going to serve a niche audience, no one wants to put money towards it. No one wants to invest in it. No one wants to make that because you're not going to. It's not going to box office, you know, $200 million in the first weekend or whatever it is. You know, like.
Well, and even for I mean, that's why you have so many indie titles that are like crowdfunded, right? Or like like startups and stuff like that.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we're going to get into with the rest of my thing is this is where I take like a hard turn toward avant-garde or alternative or weird or niche. This is when I get really specific about what I like and what I don't. It's also shortly after this is when I get into PC gaming. I make my at first, I started on my laptop, and it was not a gaming laptop, so I very quickly was like, I have to build a new PC so I can play things. And, you know, shortly after that, it was things like FTL, Fury, VVVVVV, Shovel Knight. I remember I built my PC, and my mom saw the effort I went through to build the PC. And saw like, okay, you know, I spent a lot of money on this part, that part, put it together, all this stuff. Really, at least a moderately powerful gaming rig. And then I turn it on and I'm playing Shovel Knight, which looks like an NES game. And my mom was like, why did you put so much effort into building a PC to play that? I was like, shut up, mom, you don't understand.
Because like it's like okay, I built this really great PC, and all I'm doing is like watching Netflix and browsing Facebook and shit like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my god.
Well, that's why you build a gaming PC, right?
isn't that the reason why people build gaming PCs?
So you could just be a Reddit simulator.
Yeah, man. But that's when I started going off the beaten path and playing weird stuff. And that going to PC gaming is right about when I played Dark Souls for the first time.
That's
the big one. I would say that's the second biggest turning point in my entire life, in terms of gaming, just because, you know, it changed my attitude again towards storytelling and interactive storytelling and setting the mood and theming and all this stuff. Dark Souls, big one. And what I said is to myself is this launched my spiral into a full-on game hipster. And I hate everything now because why can't everything be as good as Dark Souls or Shadow of the Colossus?
But it's funny, but in saying that, you're not saying why can't everything be Dark Souls.
Exactly.
Why can't everything that knows what it wants to be as well thought out, well planned, and
exactly.
as engaging and as rewarding yeah. of a game as Dark Souls?
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't want the same game over and over. In fact, I specifically don't, and that's my problem with most games. I want
exactly.
games that are that well thought out, are that well made, and are mm-hmm. that interesting. And it's just kind of rare. And so now I just kind of, I'm a bitter man. I'm a bitter old man of 25. And I hate everything. But that also got me started to looking at, you know, mechanical storytelling and not focusing on a narrative per se, but the emotions elicited by a game. Because Dark Souls is all about the mood, to me at least. It's all about that mood and that theme. And so I started really focusing on that. And because I'm focused on mechanics and raw emotions, my top five makes no sense now. To quickly run through it, top to bottom, Shadow of the Colossus, Dark Souls, Pikmin 3, Bloodborne, Breath of the Wild. It almost makes no sense between like flipping from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. It's a wild vacillation, but it's because it's the mechanics, the themes, and the core of the experience, at least in my opinion. And, you know, I remember there was a point where I was playing, I invited everybody, a bunch of people over to play Super Smash Bros. When, I can't remember which one it was. It was either Smash 4 or Ultimate. But I invited a bunch of people over, and we all played Smash. And my mom was so happy because she was just like, oh, I'm so happy to see you playing a cute game now. Because thinking back, I remembered playing freaking Dead Island, which is, I think, is a terrible game.
Oh, is that the zombie survival game?
It's like zombie survival, and it has like breaking weapons and very limited ammo and stuff, and it's fine, but you have almost no ammo, so it becomes just melee fighting zombies. And
wait, I think I actually have that on Origin.
You might. It's a really bad game.
I have Dead in Bermuda. I don't know what the fuck that game is.
That's it.
Oh.
Huh.
I'm going to have to play that and see what that's about.
Yeah. But I remember with Dead Island, I was running down the road, and I was like, oh, I got to beat this zombie. And I was like, mercilessly beat it into the ground, and it's all gory and shit. And just, why are you playing this? My son.
The prodigal son.
Yeah, so like this huge transition from what everyone is doing to maybe not what no one is doing, but significantly less people are doing. And I'm way into cute stuff now. And, you know, I kind of glossed over the Zelda series, but that's been a really big mainstay for me. I have mixed feelings about the whole series now, but the whole series has a wonderful place in my heart with, I think it was Wind Waker made a huge impression on me. That was my first one. I think the other biggest one for me that made the biggest impact was Majora's Mask. Because it blew my mind with storytelling. And that's a whole other thing we can talk about. I can rant about that for hours. But the Zelda series is a big, big part of my upbringing. And I think that's kind of part of why I took to Dark Souls so well. Because there's a lot of comparisons you can make between at least the 3D Zelda games and Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have mixed feelings now about the Zelda series. There's some games that I flat out hate, but the best of the best are still near and dear to my heart. And I think that just about sums it up. I'm now a video game hipster that loves cute stuff and emotions, and I feel things, and I don't mercilessly kill things. I've come full circle to a loving adult.
Yeah. Well, but I think that it is important to say that, like, you know, I don't know, like liking games more for their thematic approaches and more for their like storytelling devices, as opposed to like not mindless but less cognitive stuff, right? Like clicking, mm-hmm. like simulators or like generic FPSs or team deathmatches, right? Like I think there's a whole different genre in like just creative games as opposed to just sort of, I don't know, uncreative games.
Not necessarily uncreative game. There's games that are more catered towards, because I figure there's games catered towards entertainment, and then there's games catered towards making a statement or making a point or bringing out, like treating it as an art medium like it is, rather than just an entertainment medium, because entertainment is, I mean, you sit down, you play it, you enjoy it, or you sit down, you watch something, you enjoy it, but like if you watch to like listen to like comedian clips or something like that, mm-hmm. like that's just entertainment. But if you want something that's a little bit more like creative works, I'll sit down and listen to analysis of stuff and whatnot. Yeah. And that's just what I think is, it's like playing like some indie titles versus playing like Apex or something like that. It's like, here's my entertainment and here's my, I'm going to sit down and play something like profound that affects me.
That's a better dissection for sure. Yeah.
And I think something I didn't bring up, but it's maybe important to mention, you'll notice a distinct lack of MMOs or particularly long games, especially in my recent favorites. There's not very long games, and there's definitely no MMOs. And that's because I hate things that just kind of take time. So like World of Warcraft, you know, with at least modern World of Warcraft, you got to log in, you got to do your dailies, and it's like, okay, you spend your time, you get the stuff. You spend your time, you get the stuff. I always think when I'm playing something like that, to what end am I doing this? And
to get the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
that's what you're doing. You're playing that to get the stuff.
And, yeah. Exactly. And that's, I don't
that
care
was my
about the
main
stuff.
Issue with yeah, that was my main issue with BFA, was like I was playing to get stuff, and it's like, okay, but then I'm playing to get stuff so that way I can then do the raids and do the dungeons to get the better stuff. So that way for the next update, I can easily get that better stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But is the content actually worth it to play to get the better stuff? And that's where I usually have a big issue with like with looters and things like that, is the content worth it enough to want to sit here and grind out and get the better stuff?
Exactly. And I think that's a part of why, you know, I'm not a huge fan of like Borderlands. It has a story, but really it's just kind of playing for the sake of improvement. There are many games that are just, they're just feedback loops. They just are feedback loops. Perfect example is Slime Rancher. If you watch a GDC talk on Slime Rancher, that's the whole point of the game. They admitted, hey, this game is to be a feedback loop. You get slimes to get porks or whatever.
Plorp. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to get more stuff, to get more slimes, to get more porks, to get more stuff, to get more slimes, so on and so forth. And
it's the same. It's the same mentality behind idle games, which we'll get into later. but yeah. So is that, that's kind of your
journey?
Yeah.
I would say that's mostly my thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so if we want to move into Zach, if you want to move into yours,
yeah, mine is going to be a lot shorter than.
Yeah, Kevin, that was running on 20 minutes,
bruh.
Hey, big
this
stories,
whole episode's
man.
Supposed to be 45 minutes to an hour, my dude.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
But I don't have too much to talk about, but I kind of started the same way Kevin did. I was just kind of born into a house that had games already in it. We already had a PS1, and my dad had a bunch of like PC games and stuff too. So I don't really remember when I started playing. I just know that I pretty much always have. We had, like, for the PS1, I played a lot of like the Spyro trilogy. And, like, Crash Bandicoot and those style games.
Ooh, yeah.
And then, like, I also had Final Fantasy IX, but I had no clue what I was doing in that. Because
there are a lot of games like that from my childhood.
Yeah.
Being like a 6 or 7 year old kid, I don't know what I was doing.
None of us did.
That's how I felt playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm like, I can't even multiply and divide yet. Like, what the hell am I doing?
I remember Zach telling me a story about how he couldn't beat, I think it was the Riku fight in Kingdom Hearts 1.
That took way too long.
Yeah, I think you tried to get your dad to do it, and your dad couldn't do it either.
So, it was actually the other way around.
Oh, okay.
My dad also played the game, and I was like halfway through it, maybe, and he was on that fight, and so I would watch him do it. He could never beat it, so he would die over and over again and watch that same cutscene that's like 3 minutes long, that's unskippable.
I remember that cutscene
every single time. And then eventually I got to that point, and then I tried it and died over and over again. And it felt good when I finally beat it, but it took way too long. Hundreds of deaths on that fight.
Yeah, man, there's no way you're taking Kairi's heart.
It is I, Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, Wolf. But I also, back like before Katrina and stuff like that, I had a PC in my room, and I pretty much only had, like, kid games, but the one that I remember the most and playing the most of was a Star Wars math game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if y'all have ever seen this. I played this way too much.
Oh, my God.
I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
There was, like, 4 or 5 different, like, mini-games. And they were all math related, and you win and get money, and then you use the money to buy parts for your speeder or a spaceship. I don't even remember what it was. And then you do like some final game like thing to win. And I played that so much.
It was Star Wars Math Java's Game Galaxy.
Yes, that's it.
Oh my God.
Yep.
I vividly remember this now.
Yes.
On a quick side note, I remember a game that I played a lot. It's like the worst thing thinking back, but it was one of those like stupid get it in a cereal box. It was a Captain Crunch game. Mm. I loved the hell out of that game.
Oh man. Was it like a a portable, yeah? Like a handheld?
No, it was on PC.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, you just get the disc in a cereal box.
Like, but, anyway,
But yeah, so just with the PS1 and those PC games and stuff, that's what sort of got me into gaming. And then eventually, I guess just after Katrina, I had like my PS2, and then I had a laptop at that point, just playing like RTSs and stuff. And that's when I sort of got into like Battle for Middle-earth and Command and Conquer, and played a lot of those type of games on my computer. And, and then that's around the time Kingdom Hearts 2 came out. After the obsession with the first one, had to get the second one. Played that way too much.
Yeah, I remember doing that too.
Yeah, see, I never played Kingdom Hearts. And, like, I never had any PlayStation games until like way later when we were like, yeah, let's just get a PS2 because they're like $40 now, mm-hmm. right? Like, stuff
well,
like that.
See, yeah. Well, that's where I was like different from most people. Like, mm-hmm. I never had like Nintendo systems or Xbox. I only had the PS1, the PS2, and then eventually the PS3 and PS4.
Yeah.
That's the only console I've ever had. So there's a lot of games like Halo and stuff that I just never played because I never had anything to play them on.
Yeah.
But back to the PS2 era, there was a lot of games in that I would get stuck on, and that's when I learned about Cheat Planet.
Hell yeah.
And cheat my way through a lot of games.
Hell yeah. I remember doing that too. That was me around that same era too.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember what website it was. It wasn't Cheat Planet.
Cheat Code Central.
It wasn't Cheat Code Central.
Oh, really? That was mine.
I do remember a website that we would go to. We would print them out. So we didn't have to keep looking them up.
I had a binder.
Print them out. Exactly. You have a binder, mm-hmm. and you have them labeled which game, and here's the highlighted ones of the specific ones. I remember having that for GTA San Andreas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had GTA 3, and I had all of those printed out.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And then
as well.
All of the Spyro games, they have all their cheat codes.
Turn
you different colors, make you big, make you flat. Yeah. Weird, stupid stuff. But
yeah. I know it wasn't cheat codes, but I remember for like the Zelda series, my dad would handwrite like the different songs and stuff like that, and like like making our own like adventure notes, right? And just
not necessarily cheat codes, but more of a cheat sheet.
I miss the days where I had to do that, where I had to write stuff down, to remember for later.
You can still technically do that, right?
You can. I know I can, I just don't have to anymore. Because games make it so convenient. They have like a quest log, and they like keep track of it all for you, and you can go check it whenever you want. I don't have to anymore. The game does it for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Back when the instruction manuals had the nice like 3 or 4 pages in the back.
Yeah, it just said notes. Like, here you go, take notes.
Back when they gave you...
Never actually use those because it's the weird like waxy
paper
that's hard to
write
on.
It's like, thanks for this useless paper.
More accurately, back when they gave you user manuals in their games, right? Like,
when you actually needed that to know how to play a game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Open them up in the car on the way home and read
them. So like, you don't have to waste
just
any
you're so
time.
Excited.
You read it and you know everything about the game.
Yep.
Fly right into it.
So continue on. You say we're at the PS2 era. You're with
PS2,
Spyro and shit.
So I remember there was one game that I like refused to play almost because I was terrified, and that was the Haunted Mansion game.
Wait,
I don't know if y'all ever played
the Disney Haunted Mansion movie.
Yeah.
Yes,
they had a video game for it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But it was like, there's this one part, and it's like, whenever walking in the hallway, there's a ghost that would follow you. And she's in, like, just a white dress and has her black hair just draped over her face. And then when she gets close, she screams at you and chases you down.
So, yeah.
That terrified me. So I never wanted to go into the hallways, so I could never progress into the next areas of the mansion. And so, that was just one of those games that just kind of sat there. And never got touched. Like, I just never wanted to play it. Eventually, my dad actually played it, and I just watched it through that. But, that was a terrifying experience, and to this day, I still haven't gone back and actually finished it. I should, but it's also on the PS2, and I don't know if it's actually worth playing.
Just get an emulator.
I mean, I have my PS2.
It's not that. Does he want to like bring that upon himself?
It's not that good of a game, but
you need to conquer your childhood fear.
Well,
I think.
whenever we have our episode of movie or cartoon video games or TV show video games, that's one you can bring up.
All right, but yeah, and then from that point, and then my computer as well. Eventually, years later, built a PC. Found out about Steam, Humble Bundle, summer sales, everything, and slowly built my giant collection I have today. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, like you have the most expansive.
I had a pretty
Steam
straightforward
Steam library.
Yeah.
Yes, mainly because of Humble Bundle.
Yeah,
and he's probably played about about 20% of those games.
At least half. No, I've played about half of my library.
Yeah, I probably have the most extensive physical collection, just in terms of like separate consoles and games and eras of games.
You actually kept your consoles, and then you've also like went back and
I had to go like, back and get an NES because I didn't have that as a kid, and all of those games are games that I bought in my 20s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the most extensive physical. Zach has the most extensive Steam and digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have I think we have all the way back to our Nintendo 64 stuff. But wait, I think, no, Game Boy came out after. But yeah, we still have, like, from Nintendo 64, I think we still have our NES, like, in the attic. I don't know if we ever have, like, brought it back down or if it's even up there.
It might be,
like, yeah,
dead.
I have an old NES that, Kevin, I would like you to look at it and see if you could fix it up and refurbish it or
depends
something.
Depends on what's wrong with it.
I don't know. I might have lost some screws to it. But
all right, I'll take a look at it one day.
All right, I'll have to find some way to bring it to Colorado.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I guess I'll start with my story now, since I'm the last one. So yeah, I remember my first game that I can vividly remember playing was the Duck Hunt Super Mario Bros. Double game cartridge on the NES. Classic, yeah. I mean, we would constantly die in Super Mario Bros. And be like, all right, you know what? We're going to switch to Duck Hunt. Because we can't get past, like... Because I think this was before we knew about, like, Warp Worlds and all that stuff. Because this is, like... I mean, I'm really young. I'm probably pre-8, I would say. You'll find that in a lot of my stories, I use the age 8 as far as, like, a good gauge of where I am, because honestly, I have no idea how young I was or old I was for a lot of this stuff. So I'll just probably say 8 as, like, a just stand-in number, and you can just guess around there. But I remember, we didn't have anything to tell us, like, about Warp World, so I think we'd probably maybe get to, like, the second world consistently, just because we're young, dumb kids. And we would play Duck Hunt as well. We had Contra that we would play, and we could barely get through the first level. Mm-hmm. What else do we have? I think we had Mega Man, maybe?
I'm not sure. Give me a copy of Mega Man 2.
I remember giving you a copy, but I don't remember if that's the copy that I've had for forever ago, or if that's a copy I got through someone else, like, a few years later, like, more in, like, my teen years that I got that, I think. Yeah, that we had that, and then a few years later, or probably like a year or two later, got the Game Boy Color. And with the Game Boy Color, what did I play? Played Pokemon, of course. I remember my brother and I both had, I think we shared the Game Boy. It was the yellow Pikachu version of it.
Yeah. Ooh, I had that one too. That's a good
and
one.
we had blue version. We had blue version of Pokemon. And we went on vacation one time, and I think we lost it in a hotel room. And we were both very, very sad that we couldn't get it back. Because we called the hotel and, like, hey, have y'all seen this? And they never got back to us with if they found it or not. So then years later, we would get the Game Boy Advance. And, of course, we would go back, and I had Metroid Fusion, which I played the hell out of. Love that game. That's probably my favorite Metroid game, and it's really the only one I've played extensively. I haven't played much of Super Metroid, Metroid 1 or Metroid 2, or any of, like, the Primes. I haven't played the 3D ones. I think I've played, like, maybe a few minutes of each of them, and just never really cared for them. But Metroid Fusion
is a pretty unique one. It's the most. I remember watching it at a, what was it, a SGDQ or AGDQ, one of them, and they were running it, and they said, yes, this is probably the most linear, with heavy air quotes, linear Metroid game. It's still winding, but it's always, you have one place to go, and it's just easier to follow. It's got a very, very different design from the other games. It's one I've always wanted to go back and play.
Because it
seemed more appealing to me.
It is, yes, it is. It is much more linear, but the way that it's spread out and the way that they've designed it, it doesn't feel linear.
It's still a big winding path.
Exactly, it's one of those things where there's a lot of backtracking. Where the first area that you go to, you're locked out of a lot of stuff, and you're not exploring the whole part of the first area until, like, the last part of the game. Because you finally get the last thing that you need in order to go explore this one last room. I've always loved that game. What else did I have? I had a Scooby-Doo game. Do y'all remember the Cyberman movie?
I remember the movie. Did you have that game?
I had that game on Game Boy.
Oh man.
On Game Boy Advance. I remember playing that. I'm pretty sure it was bad. I'm pretty sure it was terrible. I remember playing it a lot. what else did I have? I had a Spyro. Was it like Seasons? Seasons of Ice or Season of Fire? Was that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
I had one of those. I think I had the ice one. And I lost it in the house. Couldn't find it ever again. It might still be in that house to this day, and no one's found it. Let's see. I remember we got a PlayStation. We played Resident Evil 2 was on the PlayStation 1, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Resident Evil 2 was on it. There was this arena fighting game that I'll have to look up the name of it later. I just remember the only character I remember from it is this old guy with claws on his hands, and he would go, da, 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 and like, do like a fast claw attack, and that's all I remember about that game. There was a flight sim game, like a cockpit view fighter jet game. But it was like a futuristic fighter jet game.
Was it called like Defenders or something like that?
I don't remember. I'd have to, again, look that one up as well and try to figure it out. We got a PlayStation 2. On the PlayStation 2, what did we have on the PlayStation 2? I think that's where we got... No, we got GTA on the Xbox. I'm trying to remember what we had on the PlayStation 2. I actually can't remember. Oh, MTV versus...
MX
versus ATV. MTV versus whatever. MX versus ATV. That was definitely Stuntman. The Onimusha series.
Oh my god, yeah.
Kevin, we tried to beat Onimusha too. We got stuck on the last boss because we had
we had no healing items left. And we're in like the last save point right before the boss. You can't go anywhere to get more health.
So we would have to just sit there and fight the last boss and try to win, and we just never got past it. But I remember one of my cousins played the first Onimusha game, and me and my brother would just sit there and watch him play it all the time. He wouldn't let us play it, but he would let us watch, and then like a good older cousin.
The best older cousin.
Yeah. I didn't really play a lot of Sega games. Maybe played Mortal Kombat a few times. I think that was it. Defender, I think that was it.
I remember that.
I think maybe played a little bit of Mortal Kombat. Didn't play a lot of fighting games growing up. Fighting games just weren't my thing. We had that one arena fighting game, like I said, but I can't even remember what it's called right now. Moving on to... 'cause I'm trying to think of other stuff on the PlayStation 2. Crazy Taxi, Devil May Cry. I remember that one.
Yeah, man. Beautiful.
Not a big fan of it. and then moving to the Xbox, that's kind of whenever I got into gaming. I remember we had Halo. For Halo 1 and Halo 2, it would be Dominic and I and his brother and my brother, and we would play multiplayer all the time. Between Halo 1 and Halo 2, we probably clocked like 500 hours. Because we would just spend summers. We would go outside and play, get all hot and bothered, come inside and play Halo for a few hours and yell at each other.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And Halo 2, because Kevin, you mentioned how there was one point where you got better than your brothers at video games, and Halo 2 was whenever I got better than video games than my brother. Because I remember I would lose. He would win every single match, and then all of a sudden clicked, and I would be the one to win a few, and then it was like 50-50 I would win or he would win. And, like, yeah. that was it. And it was always, like, we would hunt each other down and kill each other in Halo 2. Because we know, because it's like, if you're dead, you're not killing any other people, and I can kill them instead.
keeping in mind, because I remembered that very vividly, also keeping in mind, one of the TVs that we had I think it might have been in my room that we would sit down and play, it was, like, maybe, like, a 14-inch CRT. That, like, you could plug a VHS into.
Yes.
And it was just, yes. like, that little thing. And there's three people. There was four of us just huddled around, like, this little bitty TV. And we couldn't fault each other for, like, screen peeking because it's, like...
Because it's, like, how am I supposed to focus on one little quadrant when I can see the whole goddamn screen?
It's like looking at a DS screen from 5 feet away. And you're, like...
Yeah.
And you're, like, don't screen peek. And it's, like... I can't help it.
I'm just using context clues from the side of my eyes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will hunt you down, though.
Yeah.
So other things on the Xbox, Battle for Bikini Bottom. I remember playing that a lot.
Hell yeah.
I remember loving it. I watch Shift speedrun Battle for Bikini Bottom all the time, and I'm like, man, I really want to play this game again. I had Morrowind. We had Morrowind on the Xbox. Terrible controls.
Those only didn't know how to do console stuff.
Yeah,
that was still when they didn't really know what the fuck they were doing. They knew how to write stories really well. And then nowadays they forgot how to write stories, but they know how to do whatever. We'll get into it later.
Yeah.
But I remember. Yeah, Morrowind was my first Elder Scrolls game. That we got into, didn't play it too much. It was really, I mean, Morrowind is one of those heavy, heavy RPG games. And then what else was on there? KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, my favorite RPG. I played Knights of the Old Republic 2 all the time. That was the first one that I had, and I remember. I think when I was younger, I beat it like 4 or 5 times. Like, I would beat it and then just start a new game and play it a little bit differently every single time just to try to see what I can get away from with, what I can't get away with. Love those games.
Yeah.
What else was there? Then moving forward, I remember getting a DS. And playing Brain Age all the time.
Oh, bruh.
What a game.
Yeah.
What a game, indeed.
I only did Sudoku.
What a man. That's all I would do.
Yeah, Sudoku was so good on there. I'm trying to think of, like, other things I played. I didn't really play the DS that much. I had it, but really I played Game Boy games on it. It's a really good game. Like, if you're going to play Game Boy games, I feel like you should play on the DS. Rather than like a Game Boy Advance or something like that.
My favorite is the Game Boy Advance SP. I think that's my favorite handheld console, period.
Forgot about the SP.
Probably
the SP
my favorite
as
well.
Yes, it's a lot more comfortable in the hands.
So it's small and efficient.
You can throw it in your pocket easily.
Throw it
it's
against
like
the
size
wall,
of a wallet.
Break.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Moving into Xbox 360... Because Xbox 360, we got Halo 3, and then it still took us forever to be able to afford and convince our parents to get Xbox Live for us. But that was my first foray into online gaming, was Xbox 360.
Same.
And playing Halo 3. Dominic, it was y'all that actually had the Xbox Live. I think it took us forever to be able to get it. And I got... really good.
Yes. I was always a very close second. I remember that vividly. Like, you'd get to the rank of, like, you'd get to, like, captain or something like that, and I would be, like, just a hair underneath. And I was always, like, following your game experience shadow of, like, man, Devin's on, like, a 15 kill streak. I'm on, like, a 10 kill streak. I'll get there one day. Yeah.
It was I think that was probably really fun and most competitive that I've ever gotten, and like the most and the best I've ever been. I don't know if it's like transitioning into like a mouse and keyboard. I'm just still a klutz, or I don't know what I'm doing wrong nowadays, but back then, like, playing Call of Duty, because I remember playing a lot of... I didn't play a lot of Modern Warfare. I played a lot of Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
And just, you know, always being consistently on the top side of the leaderboard, and just getting really competitive in that sense with just playing online games and just loving it. And then around, I think my Steam is 8 years old, I want to say. So that's around 2011. I was sophomore year of high school, I believe. And my friend told me to play Half-Life. So I had to get a Steam in order to play Half-Life. And that was kind of my... Well, that wasn't really my introduction, but that was when I first got into it. Because, I mean, years ago, yes, I remember playing RuneScape a lot. I remember playing, like we mentioned earlier, World of Warcraft. I played a lot of Flash games on Kongregate or... there's another website that I used I can't remember right now. But I remember playing a lot of Flash games, but I never... I'm actually going to backtrack a little bit. I had a friend in eighth grade gave me a cracked version of Counter-Strike. But I didn't really know what I was doing. I couldn't figure out how to get the online playing working. So I just didn't know how to play it. So I didn't really... I don't know why I can remember my friend giving me a cracked version on a CD of Counter-Strike and me installing it and kind of just messing around on a map and just running around and seeing what the game was about, but never being able to play with anyone because I couldn't get the online to working.
Yeah, that was kind of my experience with Counter-Strike. Was my brother let me play it, but I guess I was like too scared to go online and get my ass kicked, so I just kind of played alone.
yeah. So that was my introduction, and then playing Half-Life was, I think, the first computer game I sat down and played all the way through and beat it, and just loved it, absolutely loved it. I never even beat Half-Life 2, but Half-Life 1, such a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
And then that kind of gets us into around, what was it, like senior year of high school, getting into Minecraft, then getting into Terraria and League of Legends, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And then, you know, we kind of get here where I'm basically a PC gamer now. I mean, I play games on my phone. I have a Switch. Switch is the only console I really play. I have an old Xbox, my old Xbox One that is modded, that has thousands of retro games on it that I haven't been able to plug in and play. But I also have a PlayStation 2 that I don't have power cords for. But no, I think I have power cords. I don't have a controller for it. But yeah, that's kind of my story of video gaming.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah! This was really like enlightening because I didn't know all of the deepest parts of everybody's history.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
I didn't even know a lot of the deepest parts of my own until I sat down and thought about it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of weird kind of going back and like trying to think of, okay, like, what did I do when I was little? And how did I get into games? And why did I, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
With
that in mind, I do have like sort of one, like, I guess sort of not really closing question, but like just another like thing to think about, right? I was thinking about it a little while ago. What are and we could just go down like maybe like we'll go down the list, but like what are your like save files or characters or high scores, stuff of that nature that's just like that you know is just immortalized forever somewhere, like on a memory card, or like you still have your old save file from like years ago and you remember it. Like, what are some of those things that have just that you know have been immortalized for you?
I can go ahead and answer this. I don't keep save files. I like I'm a restart junkie. Just because I've always enjoyed the simplicity and like the snowball rolling of getting into games.
Yeah.
I always hate dropping off of a game for like a month or two or a year or two and then trying to get back into it and being like, I have all of this stuff. I have no idea what any of this does anymore. I don't know where I was. I'm just going to restart. So like I'm very much like, if I haven't played a game in a few months, I'll delete that character and I'll just restart.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
Well, mine, I actually have two, two that are really big. One I'd say is bigger than the other. The first one that's slightly smaller is, Wind Waker. You have a save that, you know, when you beat the game for the first time, you get a special file.
Yeah.
And the special file, you get to wear your pajamas, right? I can't remember how I managed the file, but basically I would copy it. And so I beat it once in like the normal clothes. And then I came back and I just immortalized that second file so that I could keep playing in my pajamas over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah. That
I really enjoyed that because I liked the way it looked better because his jammies were blue and orange.
Yeah.
And he had a little lobster. I actually have the lobster shirt in my closet.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, it's great. Hell out. Oh, my God.
I'll have to show you one day. It's great.
Yeah, for sure.
But the other one is I made the perfect character in Fallout 3. And that's all hundreds and all skills, all tens and all the special, and like fully souped up, 100% of the game, everything. Wow. That save is on my Xbox 360, and it's just kind of been sitting there, and I'm never going to touch it.
Yeah,
and all like the bobbleheads collected and everything. That took so long.
Yeah, and Wind Waker is an interesting one, because that was like, that came out in 2002. And that was like one of the first games in my memory that had like a New Game Plus style. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Zach?
I mean, if I had to pick, I'd guess I'd say my Kingdom Hearts 1 save file, level 99, full completion of the game.
God.
Sitting on my memory card for the PS2.
Live on in Eternum.
Yeah, they will live on forever. I have two, kind of three. It's definitely not relevant anymore, but I think it's got to be like, honestly, I think it's on like my mom's old email address, because when we first started playing WoW, we had to do it under her email address. Like, we didn't have our own because we were, you know, children. So somewhere, and I don't even think it might not even be recoverable. It was.
It's not.
It's definitely. Yeah.
They wiped that stuff long ago.
Yeah. It was before. I think it was before Cataclysm came out. So it was still Burning Crusade and what was the one with Arthas? The Lich King. Okay, yeah, Wrath of the Lich King. I had it was one of my first player characters that I ever got to like max level for. I had like my level 60 human paladin, like right around the time of Wrath of the Lich King, and then I just vividly remember like being one of those characters that is like max level, and it's like just something really special about that. But Twilight Princess it's the only Zelda game I have 100% completion for. Like all of the other games that I've played, I've either gotten very close or just not close at all and tried to do like a 3-heart run or something like that. But Twilight Princess is somewhere on like one of our many GameCube memory cards. But the last one, it's not technically mine. It's on one of our Nintendo 64 memory chips. It's my dad playing Tetris 64 like years ago. This is probably maybe, I don't know, he had to have been like in his like mid late 40s, so this is like maybe 10 years ago or so. He had like the high score of like over like 1,000 lines or whatever, however they ran that streak of like either wins for that particular level or like however many lines you completed. But he was, and we can never get close enough at all, but he was just like, it was, that one was so special for him because that's one of those like arcade cabinets that he would do, right? Like it was so he was like a Tetris god, right? So somewhere in our collection immortalized is his like more than 1,000 lines or whatever Tetris run. And that was just something that was on the brain that I was like, I wonder what other people's like immortalized characters or save files or high scores are or something like that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
All right, boys. We're rolling into an hour and 20 minutes. So I think we should go ahead and wrap this up.
Yep.
So yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, this is just our episode zero, just a little introduction. We'll be back. We're actually about to start recording it, but next week you'll be able to hear. We're going to get started on the Soulsborne series. It'll be a two-parter. We'll be talking about each entry in the Soulsborne series, but some of them a little bit more than others because I don't think all of us have played all of them, and some of us haven't played, you know, one or two of them. But yeah, my name's Devin.
Kevin.
Dominic.
And Zach.
And this is the Tombstone Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gooby.